the artisans tend to look at life like a devil may care type of attitude. They will take risks that no one else will take. They tend to be involved in more of your crafts in your organization. They may be your entertainers within the organization. They have a crisis orientation. They like to solve crisis in the moment. They have a present orientation, action-oriented and very present. Your SPs are most misunderstood in the organization, especially if most organizations tend to be SJ in their temperament, especially federal government, which the world which I live in, and some of your churches, some of your more conservative churches tend to be SJ in their focus. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you have a lot of SPs in an SJ organization, SPs will a lot of times try to challenge the rules or may not even care about obeying the internal culture. So because their focus is not to disobey God, their focus is to have fun, enjoy life, enjoy God and all what he gives. And so you see people like that in the church. And some people wonder, wow, how can they be that way? Well, it's because God wired them that way. And so they have a role to play within the organization. The next temperament type is what we call the NF temperament type, intuitive feeler. The intuitive feeler is the person who really seeks toward harmonious living, and they tend to be, they're also called the idealists within the organization. They are very communicative, empathetic, and empathic, sensitive, they're imaginative, idealistic, romantic, spiritual, creative, and they search for meaning. They seek harmony, significance, and possibilities. And they also look at relationships. They seek authenticity. They look for uniqueness in everyone. They search for integrity. And they look for potential and honesty in others. The idealist is the person that's always tends to be labeled the touchy-feely type in the organization. However, the NF temperament type is often misunderstood and often hurt because they want to see harmonious living. They want to have harmony within the organization. And we don't see that. They get concerned in the being an NT myself, which I'll explain later, their whole focus is on harmony. And you'll see NFs involved in the social aspect of the church or the organization, trying to bring people together for the sense of harmonious existence within an organization. And you need those people for your organization to be healthy. You need the SJs to make sure the organization's doing what it should be doing, following the rules, not doing anything illegal, those types of things. You need the SP to make it fun. You need the NFs to make it harmonious. Then you need this fourth temperament type, which is my temperament type, intuitive thinker. And that is known as the intuitive thinking preference types tend to be your intellectuals, what we call, and that's not really explaining it, but they tend to be the people that are focused on big picture possibilities. And to explain that is they look for wisdom, innovation. They're very futuristic, very critical. I'll talk about the NT curse here in a minute. Very critical. Controlling, conceptual, abstract, systematic, independent, skeptical. but they have they seek vision, power, intelligence, and capabilities. And they also look for, they have a high value for skills, precision. They tend to be distant. They're logical, have knowledge, perfection, and competency. And that competency issue is what I want to focus on. What's also known as the NT curse. And what is the NT curse? Well, an NT, let's say, for instance, you're giving somebody an award. Because the NT values competence, somebody who's can do abilities, who's not incompetent, they will question in their own mind. They won't say this verbally, but they'll question in the back of their mind, is this person competent enough to give me this award that they want to give me? Or when you give an NT a compliment, they're thinking in the back, and not always, but they tend to think, I said, well, that's all right, you give me this compliment. You don't really know any better. And it's a curse. It is an absolute curse. So we as NTs have to be very mindful, especially in the church. We have to be mindful that when people give us compliments or try to encourage us, that we don't demean them by saying, well, you're not competent enough to even give me this feedback or give this encouragement. And that's what I call the NT curse. And all you NTs out there know what I'm talking about. And you, nobody's yet to challenge me on this point. I hope somebody who is an NT could, but I think I'm pretty right on this as an NT. Having said that, I talk about the one of the negatives of the NT. One of the positives of the NT, they tend to think big picture possibilities or visionary. And they're good for the organization because they keep the vision going. If you want to know where you want to be in the future, ask an NT. An NT will tell you. And your NT should be involved. An NT type person should be involved in your strategic planning sessions. Now, having said, essentially those are all the four temperaments. Going back to what we were saying, now what? What do we do with this? Let's look at conflict situations. My expertise and experience is really based on group dynamics and organizational dynamics. And looking at organizations, the first question I'm going to ask is, what is it about the organization? What is the type culture? First, that question. And I can make some assumptions about that because if you're a type watcher, you can make some assumptions. You can't always rely on those assumptions, but there are assumptions that you can make and ask questions. Get a sense of where the organization is. And if you see a lot of conflict in an organization, what is the conflict about? Number one. Number two, who is involved in the conflict? And I would venture to say, if I don't find out what type they are, then you could probably help them come to some resolution or agreement. If they're willing to allow you to use Myers-Briggs as one methodology for mediate disagreements. Let's say, for instance, you're an ISTJ. You have preference for an ISTJ, and you're an ENFP. ENFPs tend to be very, very much, remember, NF, extrovert, intuitive feeling, and perceiving. So they're big picture. They want to kind of go out and save the world. They like harmony. ISTJ, remember, is the guardian temperament, SJ. They're introverted, sensing, here and now, thinking, and perceiving. Judging. So essentially the opposite of the ENFP. Having said that, now, you can see where people can get into conflict because there's an opposite. They're coming from different points of view, totally different way of looking at the world. ENFPs wants to harmonize everyone together toward a goal. The ISTJ has these rules and standard operating procedures you must follow. The organization will be successful if everybody follows them. And so you can see where two types you get into conflict. Then you add this. Then you add this other thing of background, culture, ethnicity, race, and they even compound and exacerbate the problem. So what is a person to do to help these people come to some type of resolution on an issue? Well, first of all, you do want to identify what the type is. Second of all, you want to see where the disagreement is. Is the disagreement around how they collect their data? Is it a sensing and intuiting disagreement? Or is it around what we talked about earlier about the basketball team? Is it a thinking and feeling disagreement? If you can determine that, now this is not coming out of any book, this is coming out of my experience base. If you can determine that, you have a pretty good shot of resolving the issue, because you can start, if you know a person is a sensor and collects data from the five senses, and an intuitive is looking at that sixth sense, you can get some agreement around that issue, saying, you know, you guys are looking at this from very two different points of view. Both of you are looking at it from your lens, your, you know, type lens. Look at it this way. Try to look at the other person's point of view. And when you're talking about a T or F issue, trying to make decisions, trying to come to some agreement that you need both when you make decisions. And that's kind of the bias I have. You need a T and an F to make the most complete decision you can possibly make. Not one over the other, but both. And that's kind of how I approach conflict in the simplest form. As you start working with all the other 16 types, it gets a little more complicated. And it really, really can, especially when you're dealing with a team-based type. I do a lot of work with executive teams. I do a lot of work with senior managers and organizations and how they relate to their teams. And first thing I want to know is that, what is the leader's type? And that's interesting. Then I do a Myers-Briggs on the rest of everybody else on the team. Most of the time, most managers have gone through this exercise quite frequently. A lot of people just tell me. I say, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. Team type, you got a team type. Then you have the leader's type. Then you have the individual types within there. So all these issues are playing. And it becomes complex. The nice thing about this is that, about the Myers-Briggs, it gives you a language to talk about conflicts without talking about personal issues. People are able to bring themselves out of personal issues if they're able to look at things from a type perspective. It gets them out of themselves. It gets them focused on the big picture, if you will. And I see this to be very valuable in that respect. And that's what I kind of enjoy what I do, because I use the Myers-Briggs as a tool. It's not, to me, it's not the end-all and be-all. But I tell you, it's a pretty good tool, and I found it to be really effective. And if I can confront somebody's behavior based on the type, they're a little less likely to be defensive about that, and they're able to take my feedback, and if I can give them in such a way that they can hear it, then real behavior change and real culture change can take place. So that's kind of where I believe the Myers-Briggs can be an effective tool for you and your church. These 2 hours together will not necessarily make you a Myers-Briggs professional, I'll talk about that later, about what are your next steps from here, where do you go, that kind of thing. Where do we go from here? First of all, you should get every single book you possibly get about type. They're coming out all the time. Research and dissertations are so valuable in helping you understand type. Reading, the Alban Institute has several books on type and church. Otto Kruger has a book on type and ministry. There are so many other books out there that Christian people now are coming up with that you can actually help you understand type in the church context. My experience bases type from the organizational context. There's also type from team context. There's type from, counseling psychology context. There's type from marriage and family. Type can be used in a number of variety of ways. Those of you who, especially when you're talking about, if you're a professional, what I call professional Christian, meaning that people are in church work every single day and they practice and live, this can be a valuable tool, understanding human behavior. Once you get good at this, you can actually start predicting and understanding people in a much better way. You can be a more effective minister of the gospel if you understand how people communicate, understand how people take in information, how people make decisions, where they're oriented in respect to, are they like closure, are they like openness, those types of things. You can be a much more effective witness for the gospel of Christ, as well as a minister of the Christian people in the church. That's why I'm excited about this. To me, it's just a tool, as I said. It's not the scriptures. I think the scriptures are our guide. And I say thank the Lord for Catherine Briggs and Isabel Briggs Myers, because they've really given us a tool, and I believe that as we become more aware of of human nature and how we can actually bring the Holy Spirit in controlling human nature, this is the one way we can actually help. Somebody told me once, what if you have a spirit? What about the Holy Spirit in all this? And I sat and thought about that. I said, well, what about the Holy Spirit in that? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, what if somebody becomes a Christian and they're an ENFJ and, you know, then they become a Christian. Does that make them, do they change their type? And let me ask you, I will say this emphatically. The Holy Spirit coming in and controlling a person's life means that they're a spirit-filled ENFJ. Okay? Once you become a Christian, it does not change your psychological type. And that may be controversial because you say once we're in Christ, we're new creatures. If you look at that, that's really positional. Because having a handicap, myself, I was born with a cleft palate. I always looked at that voice, well, if I became a Christian, that means God would heal my cleft palate. And so that wasn't the case. So therefore, I have to make the assumption that this was a positional statement rather than a actuality. Because even though spiritually it's actual, but my physical body is still the same. I still think the same, meaning I still have the same skills and intellect. I still have the same way of looking at the world. But now I have the Holy Spirit guiding me and honing me in not to be so ENTP, you know, be a spirit-filled ENTP. So, having said that, and many of you might disagree with that, but I want to challenge your thinking on that, is that we're here to say, allow people to be who they are. Don't force things on them. Because let's say you're saying that you want to be, you become a Christian, and you get people saying, and you're, let's say you're an ISFP, and you get people telling you to be other things. You need to be this and that. You need to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and read your Bible. And you need to do this and you need to do that. And in order to be a good Christian, you have to follow all these things that we do. Okay? And then you ask them what their type is. Well, I may be another type. So I'm throwing these out here just for examples. I may be an INTJ, and I have a certain way I do Bible study, and I'm an ISFP, and I do things a certain way. And are these other things better than other things? Meaning, if I get up at 4 in the morning to pray and have scripture reading, and my brother over here sleeps till 10 and doesn't read the Bible until 1 o'clock in the morning and prays, is one better than the other? And of course you say, of course not. Alan, that's a really pretty simplistic example you're giving me. But what's reality is out there in the organizations and in churches, we're being forced to do things that are not us. So I'm hoping this conversation here is a freeing one, gives you a lot of freedom. Is that, and I challenge you to challenge your organization and say, you say these things are things that we need to do, but what if I don't feel like doing them? Does that make me a bad Christian? When it really, what you're really saying is, I have a different way of doing those things. I have a different way of praying. I have a different way of reading my Bible and studying scriptures. I have a different way of doing this. I have a different way of enjoying church. I have a different way of having friends. I have a different way of communicating the gospel. And I really believe, and then we can become a better church. We can become better witnesses for the gospel, because we're allowing people to be themselves and to do the things that they naturally comes naturally for them. So having said that, this is kind of the Myers-Briggs in a nutshell, is allowing different gifts to be played out in the church, in organizations, and helping people foster not only their strengths, but also hone in and develop their weaknesses. And hone in on our weaknesses and to overcome their weaknesses. To me, that is the strength of the Myers-Briggs. And I hope I've challenged your thinking here today. And just to, that's kind of where I want to go with this. Let's end in prayer and bless God that He will use this information to His glory. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are, and for thank you for making us who we are. And Lord, we pray that we would follow your Holy Spirit, and in hoping you will that you would be with us every day in challenging our own assumptions about who we are to be more like you. I know it's easy to say, well, I am at this or I am at that, and make excuses for our behavior. But challenge us, okay? Have us accept for who we are, but also challenge us to look at other ways of doing things. Look at other ways of preferences. Look at these other things to make us more complete, more whole, and to be more like you. Bless this day, and Lord, we thank you for who you are. Once again, in Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of number 6.